Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio Show, By the Book. By the Book is brought to you by the Rave Review Book Club. I'm your host, Sam Polakoff, broadcasting live from Charm City, otherwise known as Baltimore, Maryland. This segment of By the Book is sponsored by Flowers and Stone by Jan Sykes. If you are an author and are interested in having a commercial created for your book to air on one of our shows, just visit the Rave Reviews Book Club website and click on the Rave Waves tab. It's a fantastic way to promote your books. You can find the book club's website at ravereviewsbookclub.wordpress.com. Joining us today from New Zealand is Wendy Scott, the author of Tequila Rose, Virginity Blues. Listeners, if you have any questions or comments for Wendy, please feel free to join in on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBCByTheBook. That's hashtag RRBCBUYTheBook. If you pre-registered your phone number, please feel free to call in with your questions or comments. Well, Wendy, thanks for being here today. On behalf of RRBC and RISA, we're glad to have you with us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, you're in New Zealand, as we've mentioned, and if my calculations are correct, it's just about 5 a.m. on Sunday, whereas here in Maryland, it's 1 p.m. on Saturday. So I need to thank you for getting up so early to be with us today.
Oh, I'm sort of used to the time differences now. Most of the shows ends up about this time in the morning.
Well, with all that you do for the RRBC and RISA organization, you must really like us to get up at some of the hours that you do. So, well, let's introduce you to our audience in 60 seconds or less. Who is Wendy Scott, the person behind the author?
I'm obviously an author, but at home, I am a mum. I have a teenage and partner and I, we have a teenage son. I've got two dogs, both of them rescue dogs, and I have a cat and a goat. We live on 3.5 acres of land, and we back onto beautiful native bush. I love the great outdoors. I love going out walking and tramping and going on the beach and really enjoying all that the West Coast has to offer.
Well, that's awesome. I'm just enjoying the accent. So the book we're going to discuss today is a contemporary romance story called Tequila Rose, Virginity Blues. Tell us what the book's about.
Oh, it's actually I based this one in Hokitika, which is where I live, because I sort of write a story that I always write what you know. And I thought, oh, it'll be a bit of a fun to have a story that's actually, in my hometown. So basically he wakes up in the morning with a mother of a hangover. She can't remember anything about the night before, and there's someone banging on her door. It's Jack. He's absolutely gorgeous, but she doesn't remember anything about him, and he unfortunately seems to remember everything about her. So the story sort of follows Tequila's mishaps, if you like, as she tries to find out what actually went on the night before.
And was there a person or event in your life that inspired the Tequila Rose character, or is it just something you dreamed up?
It's a bit of a mixture, really. Over the years, many of my girlfriends and that have told me different stories about different things. And I've just sort of jotted down all these little ideas. And I've said to them all, oh, one day that's going to end up in a book. And they all laugh. And the funny thing about Tequila Rose, Virginity Blues is actually I had the title way, way before I actually even had the story. I was doing a writing course and I had homework. I had to go and apply for a print ISBN number from a New Zealand library system, and that was a homework. And I thought, oh, I'll put that title in because, one day I'm going to write that book. Mm-hmm. And every year since then, I used to get an email that contact me saying, you have to send 2 print copies of this book you've written. And I'd write back and say, oh, I haven't written it yet. And in the end, I thought when the Alpha Omega contest came out, I thought, I'm going to finally write that book, because I actually realized the idea I had was perfect for a short story. So, and so I was very delighted when it actually came out and I was able to finally say to them, yes, I've written that book.
It was a fun read. And so how about Jack? Is he somebody that was in your life at one time, or was he manufactured from your imagination?
No, he was purely manufactured, unfortunately.
And, well, you never know. And so speed dating, how about that? Is that something you ventured into before?
No, not at all. That was just all a bit of fun as well.
Well, I'm an old married guy. I don't think I'd have the courage to be in a speed date situation. So, now Evangeline, is she like your mother? Where your mother was?
Not at all. Not at all.
No.
You couldn't get two more different people, actually.
It's interesting because I always wonder, you know, when I'm reading a story. And the character development, how much of herself or himself the author has put into a character, or whether they're just completely made up or whether they're modeled after people that the author knows. And I think it's always an interesting exploration.
It is. And I was sort of looking at some of my other books and that, you know, I've written quite a few in different genres of that. And yeah, sometimes I end up killing off characters, like, you know, mothers and things like that. And I thought, oh, is she nice to have one that isn't having a violent death or something like that? So, I mean, this is obviously a funny story, and I was able to really have a lot of fun going over the top with these sort of crazy characters.
Oh, yeah, that makes it enjoyable for the reader, and you did a great job with it. What's your favorite genre to write in? You write in many.
Probably children's. I started off with the fantasy, and then I sort of branched into writing children's books because when my son was younger, I wanted to write something he was able to read, and so I sort of branched into the children's books and just loved it really, and I've just sort of continued. And then I've sort of started doing more of the short stories. Obviously being prompted by RRBC has, and Noni sort of put the challenge out to do the Alpha Omega contest a couple of years ago. And now that's sort of become a steadfast genre I do as well. I've got notebooks scribbled with hundreds of ideas for stories and novels. And I'm actually finding that I'm actually able to use those ideas that can tuck well on that I'm actually fit the short stories far better than that I probably wasn't ever going to develop them into a full novel.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let's come back to Tequila Rose for a moment. The setting for that story is in the town that you live in, Hokitika. I'm probably saying that wrong. And in New Zealand, have you ever written a story where the setting is a place you just completely made up, or are they all places you're with?
Most of the stories I've written are completely made up. I've actually created whole worlds. I think there's probably only a couple that I've written that are actually based on real places. So, yeah, I usually have to do the whole world building as well. It's actually, when you're using a real place, you've got reference points you can use, but at the same time, you've actually got to be very careful that you portray it correctly and you don't date yourself because things can change.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of have to be sort of very careful about being really true. So it makes sense. So people don't go, hey, that street doesn't actually end there. Or
that's right. And I think when you go backwards in history, there's a historic reference point that you need to be mindful of. But what's fun is going into the future because, you know, whatever comes out of your brain is fair game. No one knows what's going to happen. And I think it's more challenging in some respect as an author to create those new worlds you referenced.
It takes a lot. And you have to be very consistent when you're building your worlds. Is you actually have to figure out what are the rules for your world. But I love that sort of just imagining. And then you're doing the what if. And then it leads to another what if. And, yeah. I spend a lot of time daydreaming, especially when I'm walking down the beach or I'm a passenger in a car on a long journey, I find I need that sort of space and that time, and I sort of end up, you know, people often look at me and I'm not realizing I'm actually a whole world's away, dreaming up or living in these other worlds in my head.
And you're probably a people watcher too.
Oh, absolutely. No one's safe.
Well, I think all authors are guilty of being people watchers, and you're seeing people and you're thinking, how would I describe that person in a story? And I just think it's just something we all suffer from.
I have a t-shirt I sometimes wear out, and it's got caution, you know, I'm a writer, you know, you might end up in a book.
That's excellent. I need to get one of those. So let's head over to the Peanut Gallery, Wendy. We've got a lot of people who are listening in. They're excited to hear from you. Joy Lombianco says, hi, Wendy. It sounds if you're on a farm with a lot of space. I love the space. And Jan Sykes is tweeting that she'd like to know where you came up with the name Tequila Rose.
The tequila part refers to the fact that her mother was actually drinking tequila the night Rose was conceived, and so she named her after tequila. Yeah, so that's where the Tequila Rose part came in.
Did she eat the worm?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Angeline would arm wrestle you to get the worm.
All right, well, we have many more comments here. Yvette Caiero says that she too loves your accent, and she's read Tequila Rose Virginity Blues and says it's fantastic. Robbie Eaton says, hi, Wendy. I didn't realize you were from New Zealand. How wonderful. It's a beautiful country. And
oh, lovely.
I'm anxious to visit myself. And Jan says, how cool the way you came up with the book Tequila Rose Virginity Blues, applying for an ISBN so far in advance. And she said she never knew that. And Shirley Slaughter said, I read this book and enjoyed it. It's not like the average story of this type, and she liked the ending very much. And Ronnie Deshay says, speed dating, oh, not one of my better decisions, LOL.
Ronnie, you should write a book about it. I'd love to read it.
She just might. We just gave her the story. You just inspired the next Ronnie Deshay novel. So, Wendy, let me ask, how old were you?
It'll probably be vampires dating or something like that.
Absolutely. I it'd be a bloody shame if it weren't. I'm a punster. You'll have to forgive me. How old were you when you knew you wanted to become a writer? I think that's always an interesting question because many of us started, I wrote my first novel when I was in my 50s, but I knew I wanted to write when I was a teenager.
I was very, very creative when I was younger. When I was sort of high school age, I even wrote poems back in those days, and actually even primary school, I found them actually. I've still got them as homemade books I used to make, and I wrote and I made the covers and, colored them in with felt pens and wrote the stories and stapled them all together. And, I made quite a few. So I used to make my own books when I was about 9 or 10.
That's very impressive.
As I grew up and went in to become a teenager and went on to work and everything else, I've always been an avid reader, and I've always read the whole time, read. But it wasn't until quite a bit later in life, lived in Australia for about 5 years in Adelaide, and I saw an ad for how to write a novel course, and I thought, oh, that would be really interesting to go along. And I wasn't intending to write a novel. I just thought it would be interesting to understand the mechanics as a reader behind novel writing. And it was a 6-week course on a Saturday. So I signed myself up. And within 20 minutes of listening to the tutor and everything else, I thought, I'm going to give that a go. And once I started, I knew I'd found my thing. And, and I haven't been able to stop. So yeah, it was sort of later, quite a bit later in life.
Well, we're glad that you weren't able to stop, because you now have a legion of global fans who are very dedicated to your work and always are looking for more, I'm sure. So, as a member
I do get emails like, "Where is the next book?"
No, that's great.
I've got too many series. It's trouble.
Well, it's a good testimony to how well you're doing. So, let me ask this, Wendy: as a member of the RRBC community, how has your membership in this organization benefited you as a writer?
Oh, in so many ways. As a writer, especially now after the formation of RISA, has really made me concentrate on making sure that I really pay attention and put out quality works. I mean, I've always been made sure that I've had an editor, you know, not just a copy proofreading, but gone the full structural edit, and I try and make it as polished as possible. I also go that extra mile now and try to make sure that everything else I do reflects that author brand, and so that when someone buys one of my books, especially when you're indie published, you want to be shown that it's up there, that it's well worth purchasing and buying. That the whole community of actually being, and as you mentioned before, I'm in New Zealand, but it doesn't make any difference. I've got a whole worldwide group of friends that I interact with daily because of RRBC. Mm-hmm. And that's just invaluable. The support you get not just with reviews, but just fellowship. I just love it. And all the activities. I mean, who else gets a chance to go on like do radio shows like this? I mean, I host one as well, and I have for quite a few years now. And what a delight that is once a month I get to talk to an author, and they could be anywhere around the world, and talk about their books and introduce their genres and their unique author whole personalities to the world.
I think it's fascinating. And if you're an independent author like you and I, it's sometimes difficult in your local community to find a group of people who can relate to what you're doing and just to be able to speak frankly about writing and creation of characters, books, and the publication process. So you mentioned RISA. So just for our listeners, RISA stands for the Rave Writers International Society of Authors. And you're a member and you're an advisory committee leader. Listeners should be aware that hundreds have applied for membership in RISA, yet the roster has about 50 members. How does it feel to you to belong to such a prestigious organization?
Oh, I'm very honored to be part of RISA. I absolutely am, and I love doing the small part I do, because I just sort of help on the administration side of things. Noni is just a power force behind both of these organisations. And, you know, she works probably about 27 hours a day, 7 days a week. To promote all our other authors. And so I'm happy that I can just do a little bit to help out and spread the word. It does make you, like I said, it makes you more accountable and makes you stop and think, making sure that you just go that extra mile to make sure that you are putting out quality works. That the expectation is that if someone picks up your book, that they're going to, not going to find it full of errors. They're not going to find, mm-hmm. Carelessness, that you've actually, really done all you can. I'm not saying the odd typo and thing doesn't come through, because sometimes they do, but as a RISA author, you go and fix it. When someone points out to you, hey, you've done this, you go back and you fix it. It's quite easy to do on the, updating e-books and things like that. It's quite a painless process.
Well, I think you've made a lot of good points. I see a lot of activity coming in from the peanut gallery here. Let's read a few more comments for you. Nani says, no speed dating stories for her. Yvette says that she has read many of your books and that you rock in each genre. Joy says, I also write a lot about the world around me, and I sit and watch, I listen a lot, and then I make up stories about what I see and hear, which is a very poignant point. Robbie Eaton says, I love the title of the book. She's just finished it. And Jan says, that's a great point. And important to stay relevant with world building. Heather Kent says, I've used both real places and made up places. It does get tricky when you use real places. And those are some of our comments so far. And Ronnie says she loves your comment about the worm and the tequila. Well, Wendy, you mentioned a lot of different things relative to your writing, and I know we're talking about Tequila Rose Virginity Blues today, but do you have another book in the works right now? What's coming next?
Well, I'm working on a couple of short stories, and one of them is a fantasy prequel to the Windflowers series. And so I'm having quite a bit of fun with this because it's this is a based on an ancient Egyptian world. And so I'm just sort of using something that is not the same characters because it's sort of way, way in the past, but does have relevance to the story. And I'm also working on the other a short story, which is a follow-up to Slimmer, with the same characters I had in that book. And that one's going to be called Sleeker.
Oh, great, great. Now, do you write
another funny story?
That sounds like a funny story. Are you a full-time writer, or do you also hold down a job?
Oh, I'd love to be a full-time writer. But I hold down lots of different jobs. I used to work in the dairy industry in New Zealand. I used to work full-time, and a few years ago, I made the decision to. I wanted to have more time, be able to write. So I work part-time. I left that industry and I work part-time. I'm actually work in a possum merino clothing shop.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I work like 3 days a week. So I have 4 days off in a row so I can concentrate on my writing. But I writing. I do tutoring. I have some private clients. Doing assessments and stuff like that, but I also go out and do workshops, and that can sometimes involve going to other towns, and that's a lot of fun. I just absolutely love doing that sort of stuff.
That's
and
great.
I also have a consultancy health and wellness business as well. So it's always something to be done. Always busy.
Well, with all that activity, do you structure your day around writing or do you just write when the inspiration strikes and the time allows?
I try and treat it like a job. When I'm on my days off, as much as I'd like to be swanning around the cafes and I actually drop my son off at school and I come back and I sit down at my desk and I work like a full day and Quite often, there's other jobs that have to be done. But if I'm finding I'm actually not getting the writing time in, I make myself do writing sprints, and that's when I set a word count, I sit down, and then I do not leave my seat until I've achieved that word count. It doesn't matter. You can't get off and go and don't hang the washing out, don't do this, nothing. You stay on that seat till those words are done. And quite often if they do that, you then tend to get into a flow. And if I'm doing 500 word sprints, and if I do 3 or 4 of them in a day, I can then get the word count up.
Well, it sounds like you've got discipline and it's important to put out good work. So congratulations. This program is called By the Book and we do things by the book. So tell us why our listening audience should run out immediately and buy Tequila Rose Virginity Blues.
Well, it's a funny, lighthearted read. And I think a lot of people, even though if you're not familiar with small town New Zealand, you will find things about people and perhaps even yourself, that will ring a bell. And I just think you have a good chuckle, and at least you're with a good feeling at the end.
Yep, I think that I agree. I enjoyed the book immensely, and I've never been to New Zealand, but the setting felt perfectly comfortable as a reader. So I concur. Beyond what you've already given us, and you've given us a lot, is there any writing advice that you would give our listening audience?
Oh, I've got so many.
But, pick one.
One of the first ones I always say to people is, writers write. Now, and I know that sounds really obvious, but a lot of people when they're starting out, or even when they've been writing for a while, they do a lot of talking about writing and not actually writing the writing. You know, just get yourself on that computer or with your pen and paper, however you do it, and just write. And I always say, write with abandon. When you're first writing, don't censor yourself. Don't worry about it not being any good or anything like that. Because I always think, in my mind, I always think, you know, it could be absolutely dreadful what I write the first time round. And it doesn't matter because I'll fix it up the next round. I'll fix it up the next round. You know, I have gaps. I have characters that have a letter as their name. And I'm going to work it out later what I'm going to call them. It's just a matter of getting it all down first. And then once you've got that framework down, you can go in and fill it all out and make it all perfect later on. It's just write. That is my advice.
Good advice. Very solid. And Wendy, I see we're just about out of time. I want to thank you so much for visiting with us today and letting us get to know you better on By the Book.
Oh, thank you.
our pleasure to have you. So listeners, now I'd like to share a couple of other titles worthy of the name of this program. These books are highly recommended, so you want to head to Amazon or wherever you buy your books legally and pick up copies of these two gems. The first is No Pedigree by Nani Jules, and the second title is The Watcher by Heather Kent. These books are listed in the RISA catalog at ravewriters.wordpress.com, categorized by the author's last name. Both authors are members of the very exclusive RISA. Okay, it's time to pay some bills. So today's sponsor is Flowers and Stone by Jan Sykes.
Flowers and Stone by Jan Sykes. Darlena Flowers has one belief that never changes, and that is in a true and lasting love. She knows her knight in shining armor will show up and sweep her off her feet, just like the romance stories she's avidly read. The year is 1970. At 19 and on her own in Abilene, Texas, she longs to fit in. She's drawn to everything forbidden by her strict religious mother and the church, but mostly she's drawn to the live music. She works days in a boiler factory and nights at a local nightclub as a fledgling go-go dancer. Luke Stone has made a career of bad decisions. As a Texas musician, his life is on the road, full of one-night stands, booze, drugs, and women. He's forgotten any other way. He's burnt out and convinced he doesn't care about anything anymore, especially not his heart. That is, until he meets Darlena. She reignites passions in him that he thought long dead. Their short-lived journey up and down Texas roads is packed with excitement and sizzling passion, with a cruel twist of fate awaiting the lovers. This is an epic love story based on the lives of the author and her late husband. A finalist in the RRBC 2018 KCT International Literary Awards Contest, Flowers and Stone is available on Amazon in both paperback and ebook formats. Pick up your copy today.
You can find Flowers and Stone in the RISA catalog. It's also a title you will want to sink your teeth into. Once again, I'd like to thank my guest, author Wendy Scott, for being part of our show today, as well as those of you who participated from our peanut gallery. Your presence is always appreciated. And Wendy, there's tons of additional comments for you to look at on Twitter, so I encourage you to do that. And audience, please do. And audience, remember, if you miss a live show, you can always find each and every episode in the Rave Waves archive. This is your host, Sam Polakoff, thanking you for tuning in today to Buy the Book, a Rave Waves production. Be sure to join us next time for another exciting episode of Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, where all things literary are our passion. Have a great weekend, everyone, and happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. So long.